Man, here lately, now about another 2-3 weeks, you should have some pretty decent days.
Really?
But it's like it is now. It's way rolling high, that high in that lake.
Really?
They couldn't have that. Most of them can't get out there themselves. You just have to pick chances to go out there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they get out there at night and get what you got to do when it's calmed off at night.
Yeah. I bet you had to do that a lot when you were catlining.
I did plenty of times. Plenty of times.
Yeah. Well, is that how you started out, catlining?
Well, I started out catlining and from that to sand fishing. I got involved in all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lifetime situation with me, pretty well.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, thinking about the Hall Saints again, so you had to have those two boats, two
right.
Pull boats.
Two pull boats, that's what we call them, pull boats.
And then you'd start at one spot and toss part of the net over?
This type, we have it in, the net divided in two boats.
Uh-huh.
And we have stakes on each, on the end of each net. You tie them two stakes together. One pull boat go one direction and one go the other. And then they lay it out in a kind of a U shape like, and then they pull them back around together.
Sort of like that, like the boats would start there and they'd be anchored down, and then
right.
One boat would go over like this, and
right.
Another like that.
Right.
Okay, then what would you do?
Well, if you take pull this one of these nets around the other one, and take this one up, you pull it around until you get back and you got your bag on one of these nets, whichever one you pull around. Your bag and all is on the other net.
Oh,
and
so
you take them apart when you get back in, and then you stationary that end. And you come back and take this nut in parts till you get the whole circle pulled in.
Oh. So this boat would start going around the outside.
Right.
And then this boat would sort of go in?
No, we just do away with that boat altogether, then we get them pulled together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And just do the rest of the work with one boat pulling around.
Mm-hmm. And so it would make call it sort of a bag?
A circle.
Uh-huh.
A circle, but your bag is sitting right in here. And this end of this, maybe about 35 to 50 yards from the end of this, and that's where your bag is. And you just pull it around, make a little circle right, and stationary it with a pipe. We have the long, deep pipe we use.
Uh-huh.
Keep it down on the ground, and then you fasten this pipe, this end of this net chunk with the bag on to this pipe. And you pull this other net, just keep pulling it around, making the circle smaller and smaller till you get to the bag. And you pull both ends of this through the pipe, and your bag come in straight. And then your fish, what fish in there, go right in that bag.
That's pretty ingenious.
It's easy if you once learn it. But
would you use a net then to dip up the fish?
Dip them out the bag. Yeah.
And put them right in the boat?
Right.
Wow. Now, what would hold one end of the netting down?
Well, we have two lines on the net. So your lead line, we call it, and a caulk line. When you have lead, you got to space them every so often on the lead line. And the caulk, of course, they'd be from 2 to 4 feet. Most of them are 2.5, 3 feet apart.
Okay.
And the fish, these lakes around here, they usually the fish about 22. 20, 22 foot of water.
And so the nets would be like 22 feet?
Deep.
Right. Okay.
Some a little deeper. So you could rig them if you want, but it'd take about, to be successful, you'd have to have one about 22 feet deep to fish most anywhere in the lake.
What kind of mesh would it be?
Well, there's some of them use different size meshes now. We mostly use the from a pool, not nothing larger than a 4.5 inch, but the main net,
mm-hmm.
What we call the putting circle part, and it's where you're getting closer into your fish, it's usually around from 2.5, 3, 3.5 inches. It just depends on what the lock off.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Yeah. Was that, in your days, was it a nylon net?
No, it was cotton back in my days when I first started, but in the later years, I guess the last 15, 20 years we used nylon. It was much better.
Yes.
Once we learned how to use it.
Those cotton nets, would you have to dip them in something so they wouldn't rot, or what would you dip them in?
Better dip them in every so often, take them up and dry them out and dip them over again.
How often would you have to do that?
We did it about every 3 months. That's when we're using them daily, you know. Nylon ones, it pays you to dip them too, to keep them kind of hardened up where you can handle it. It gets soft and you hang up on most everything touches from the nylon.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, when you were doing this haul saying, like, how many of you would go out at once?
Well, I went out there with just 3 of us, but usually a crew is about 4. And some of them use 5, some 6, just depending on how they feel about it.
Would y'all go in equal, or would one person sort of be the captain?
Well, it'd be one be the captain of the outfit, most likely.
Would that be the one who owned the boat?
Well, not necessarily. We most of our lives are fish for some company or another. It was 4 or 5 different fish dealers in.
Uh-huh.
And they owned all the tackle we used.
Like boats, they did? Oh.
Like boats, motors, nets, and whatever. We furnish everything we need.
So would y'all get paid a salary, or would you get paid a
part of it? We fish by the pound, but the dealer, whoever furnished the stuff, he would get a percentage out of, like a fourth or whatever, out of what the money we made.
Was it pretty good money?
Well, at times, it's a season situation. It's about like farming. If you had a good season, you made good money.
What seasons of the year were the best for the haul seine?
Well, we usually, from about July, we always get started good in July. Catching fish. You know, they began to pick up, and then July on through the winter, about March, and just about like they do now. With the traps and catching them from about August and on through the winter. But this time of the year, they begin to be by the last of March, it's pretty scary. You just got the scrap in it.
Right. Well, what would you do? Like, how long would it take? Like, would you go out early in the morning?
We used to, usually this depends on where we had to go. Now, we usually leave home maybe 2 o'clock in the night, 3, something like that. If we're going way on up in the big lake from here, leave around 3 o'clock. Give you time to get up there and get everything ready by daylight. Sometimes we'd put it out in the dark. It depends.
And then would you maybe get home about 1 or 2 in the afternoon? Or?
Just depends on how many fish and how far we had to go.
Yeah.
We had a good calm day. Usually we'd get in and no later than 12, 1 o'clock. With a pretty good bunch of fish. Well, if it's rough, then you take more time.
Yeah, it's really, with fishing, I keep asking people, well, you know, about how long would this take, or how long would that take? And everybody says just what you just said. It just depends on the season and the weather and the fish and everything.
You have a lot of problems out there. Right? At times, some days you got everything working all night.
Yeah. Well, when you load the fish into the boat that you'd caught, were there any that you'd have to just throw back?
Well, these last 2 years we fished, we had to throw back all the brim and bass and perch.
But everything else you could keep?
Keep catfish, gars, gizzard shad, you call them rough fish.
Rough fish?
Mullets.
Are rough fish what some people call trash fish?
Trash fish, okay. Same thing.
Yeah. So rough fish would be gizzard shad and
gar, stingrays.
What else?
Well, that's about all we caught, the amount of it.
How about pogies?
Well, you don't catch too many of them up this one.
Oh, okay.
Once in a while you may get 10 or 15 or 20.
But not much. How about mudfish?
Mudfish, you get a few of them. These usually are fish that hang around the bank. You never did fish in that cove with them flames.
Because I went out with Jerome Schmidt and his family when they did their shad nets about a couple weeks ago. And I guess Dave Sheffield sells his shad to Mr. Schmidt. And I went out with them. It was real exciting for me because
yeah,
I've never been out, you know, to do that.
That's a different situation altogether than what we're talking about.
Yeah, it is. But they caught stingrays and pogies, and they caught some flounder.
Right.
And a lot of gizzard shad, more than they wanted to catch.
Yeah.
And so I was surprised to see flounder, a saltwater fish, in the...
We get quite a few of them, not no big amount. Sometimes we get 40, 50 pounds of them a day.
Yeah.
Not many.
Good luck fishing.
Yeah.
Well, the rough fish or the trash fish, you would carry them back. What would you do with them?
Well, the last year or so we fished, they had a sale from some, I guess they were selling some fertilizer plant or something, I don't know. They use a lot of them for crab bait and different stuff like that.
Somebody was telling me that sometimes they would boil up all the trash fish and then take them out the next day and dump them.
We used to do that all the time when we were fishing in the lake, legally fishing, you know, year round. We cook most of them. Pick these old tar drums and clean them out good and cook them and carry them back and dump them out on our own. All fish love to eat it.
Yeah, so it'd be like bait
right. For
the next day. So why did people quit doing that?
Well, they just passed the law that we couldn't sand no more, so.
Oh.
That just that cut that out.
Yeah.
You now don't need for it no more.
Right. Why do you think they passed that law saying that you couldn't sing?
I think it was a spokesman's organization that took over. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's what happened.
Yeah.
But they ruined it for themselves worse than they did the commercial fishing.
Why?
Because the lake just went dead. Mud built up on all over everywhere. I could take you to places up in the lake now where it used to be pretty white sand bottom. You could walk out there for, well, there's one place actually up there, you can walk out there about a mile and just on a bar. You can see the pretty white sand bottom. Now it's just covered with mud and old mess.
Wow.
That's where the bass and brims and stuff bedded it. But they didn't realize that until it was too late.
Yeah.
They messed it up. They was killing these hyacinths. Which they had to do something about the hyacinths. And that was all right, but them sands would keep it stirred up and the tides would take it on off. But when
right.
the sands quit, that stuff still right down on the bottom, made mud.
So the sands kept stuff up in the water,
right.
So, okay.
It's just like cultivating a farm, if you keep it cultivated, it's growing, otherwise it's same situation.
When you were a boy, were the hyacinths as bad as they?
No, not really. But the latest, they kept getting worse and worse all the time. They grow fast, and they really got to the point where they had to do something about them, otherwise they'd block this road.
Yeah.
In fact, they did block the road down here to this railroad crossing quite a few times. And big tug couldn't come through.
Mrs. Parker of Parker's Fish House over in Georgetown told me that. Her dock used to get so blocked
right.
that the fishermen couldn't get in to sell their fish.
That's right. They've done a good deed about destroying the hyacinths, all right. Well, just like I said, from what I can see, when they stopped the seining, the fishing has been going back ever since.
Yeah.
We've actually had the spook fishermen to come out there and get inside our circle when we were fishing and catch bass.
Really?
That's right.
Wow.
But now they don't even catch no color with all that. Just, you know, we catch a few.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like these.
Gosh.
They ruined it. And they don't seem to want to give in. It's a few people would take a chance on buying a rig and get out there and clean it, help them clean it back up.
Be a lot of money to start in to do it.
Yeah, it would cost a lot of money now. But it would pay in the long run. You wouldn't do too good at that off the bat. You got, say, three or four stains out there in the lake.
Yeah.
But on a daily basis, you cover a lot of ground, you know. And if you want, most fishermen fish one place one day and one another the next, like that.
Move around. Well, those pole boats, how long were they? How big were they?
Well, there's different sizes, but most of them, I'd say around from 20 foot to longer. Not too big. We didn't need nothing too big to feed them.
Were those wooden in the beginning?
Wooden, back in the day.
Who would make them?
Well, all them old guys dead and gone now. We used to build them boats.
Yeah.
And that fellow named Sanders, he used to do them, and the modern members.
Yeah.
And old man Thomas, he built about several of them. He used to build them years back.
Right.
But they was old men, mostly when I was a kid.
So they've been gone a while.
Them old boats would last you, if you took care of it, last you 25, 30 years. Because you kept it painted, pull it out every year, every summer when the fishing was bad, re-caulk it and paint it and whatever. Overhaul the engine, maybe put another engine in or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We just use regular automobile engines, you know.
Did you?
Mostly.
Golly. Well, now, do you ever remember being out there with just oars when you were doing haul seine before
the
motors?
Not
on haul
seine? Not the whole haul seine, but oars.
Mm-hmm. When did people start using motors, like even car motors?
Oh, they was using them for as back as I can remember.
Oh, yeah? So they cut on to that pretty fast.
They just got old wrecked cars and got the motor out and stuff like that. They never had to buy on new ones.
Yeah.
But they would, that's why they could exchange it. Maybe the last 2-3 years, they changed it and put another one.
Or
the junkyard and get one for maybe $50 or $60.
Yeah. Well, when y'all were out there working together, pulling the seine up, how would y'all sing to each other, or like would you tell jokes, or?
Oh, just different ideas, telling jokes, and whatever.
You remember any of the songs?
No. I never did sing over it. That didn't interest me.
Oh, you didn't?
I never could sing.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was enjoyable and it was a good living.
Right. I hear it was a real good living.
And it kept a lot of people in work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people.
Must have been almost everybody around here fishing.
Practically everybody from around Wheelock and Georgetown and on up to Volusia, in Volusia County, a lot of people.
Like Astor down around
or
there?
Or up in that section and back to Jacksonville. Not really. Okay. One of them that lives close by on the river in those places.
Somebody was telling me about a fella named Hubert Sauls down in Astor. Now, do you know him?
I know.
He used to work on haul seines, didn't he?
I don't remember whether he did or not. Them, all them guys, if they worked on that, if he was living up that way then, he was probably worked up in the other end of the lake, and we didn't know how to go up that way very often. A lot of them guys had special places they fish, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't come down here too much, and we didn't know what that, in that part too much.
Yeah. I was thinking of looking him up. I hear he's a man who likes to talk.
He likes to talk all right. I don't know that much about him.
Oh, yeah? Did your father work on haul seine too?
When I was a little baby, I guess. About the only work he ever did, as I know, just like myself.
Was fishing. Yeah. Did he only fish haul seine, or did he run cat lines and all?
He cat lined some too, and in these later years after they stopped us from seining and rigging,
mm-hmm.
he tried to cat line, trap fishing and whatever.
What did he like best?
All of them liked that haul seine best, because I guess it was something they just did all their lives, is my way of saying. Like myself, I'm from law zone in the other kind of job, but I started doing that when I was about 8. not quite 9 years old.
Really?
And that's what I grew up with. So.
That's all you know.
And most of you guys around the same way.
Well, what do you think makes a good fisherman when you were coming up?
Well, for one thing, you got to have patience.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing. And then the next thing is trying to learn all you can about it. There's a lot of people that have fished years and don't know much more than somebody that's never been out there.
Mm-hmm.
But that ain't no good. You got to study it and learn just like anything else.
Yeah. Seems like some people really have a reputation for being good fishermen. Can you remember anybody around here who had the reputation for being a good trap fisher? Or?
Well, there's a lot of them trap fishermen. Now, these younger guys, I'd say from most of them from my 40 years old back down, now, that's practically all they did. Involved in some kind of trap fishing, a trot line, something like that.
I know Dave Sheffield has quite a reputation for being a cat liner.
Oh, yeah.
I hear about him from everybody. How about hoop nets? When did they get to be popular?
Well, they've been fishing around here, I guess, about as long as I can remember. A few fellas, you know, they used to fish them up in Ottawa and around places like that in the river. But it is late, they started fishing them up in them lakes. They didn't bother about fishing. They caught all the fish they could handle right down here in the river with them hoop nets.
Really?
But since the seine and crit, they just got them scattered all over the river. Well, I fished traps and stuff like that.
Did you fish hook nets?
I fished, I owned some quite a long time. I finally got disabled to handle them and I had to get rid of them.
Yeah. Which do you like better? What are the advantages of a hook net versus a fish trap? Or which do you like better?
Well, I like the hook net the best. It lasts longer, and then you can catch a lot more fish. With a fish trap, you can move it around more easily, but it don't pay off like it. And usually a fish trap, wild trap, catch a small, greater fish.
Mm-hmm.
Hook nets, you catch all kind of sizes. And then something that you can always fit on. I've caught fish in wild traps, I couldn't sell it off.
Because they're too small?
Too small, but now the last 10 or 12 years, they want the smaller ones more so than they do the larger ones.
Huh.
It's just, I guess these restaurants and hotels and things start using them more. I'm sure that's what it is.
Yeah. What kind of bait would you use in a hook net when you were fishing?
Well, we used to use herring and have used pobies and soybeans and stuff like that. That's about all we use in hook nets around here.
Yeah, it seems like soybeans what's getting...
Soybeans is mostly what they use now. In winter time, in the water cold, they use herring. But they have to order that from up Carolina, Virginia, somewhere up. And they don't catch them around here no more like we used to catch them up here in the winter time. Fish on. But they quit that.
Well, how many years has it been since you were fishing?
I really ain't fished none. Might as well say no kind of fishing in about the last 5 years. I got sick, pretty sick, and had a couple of bad operations. It just knocked me out from out of nearly everything, you know.
Yeah. You gotta be hale and hearty if you're gonna be out on the water.
Yeah.
Some hard work.
Really, that hard is just it's work.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get out there and you in a position where you have to put out all you got in order to survive yourself. But it's just like I say, it's a matter of knowing how more so than anything else to be comfortable out there.
Well, how did you really learn?
Well, I just watched other people from a kid and I always liked the water. And that's where I got started.
Did your dad have
Really. He was fishing with another crew, and he wasn't the captain on the outfit, you know, he was always a helper.
Yeah.
And I could never, didn't never have opportunity to go out with them. So when I did get started out, I just went on a cruise and went to fishing.
Wow.
I was young, but I was about as big as my grandson around there.
Wow.
I was about 9 years old when I actually started sand fishing.
Gosh, that seems young to me.
Yeah, I was real young.
Well, when you took the fish from the seine into the fish house, would you have to clean the catfish?
No, they had crew of fellows that they could get to the fish house to take care of that.
Oh, so they'd skin?
They'd skin them. And had a crew that worked in the fish house to take care of them, you know, wash them up, ice them, and all that, truck, haul them off.
Did you ever work as a skinner?
I skinned quite a few in my life.
Yeah?
Quite a few.
I believe it was you told me to go talk to Eddie Oxendine, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's one of the best younger skinners he's around now.
Yeah,
I know of.
I talked to him. I think he's going to come demonstrate catfish skinning at the festival. He eager to do it.
Yeah, he used to be in it over there.
Yeah, I think he'll have a good time. And his two little boys are going to come. One of his little boys really wants to be a fisherman, I tell you.
He probably will, because his dad loved it. So
yeah.
He'll probably be a fisherman.
Yeah.
Once you get started in it and learn about it, you know, learn how to go about it, you'll like it. You don't be bothered with all kind of different situations. You just, you know what you got to do.
Is that what you liked about fishing?
I like that. That's one of the main things. You know what you had to do, and you just go ahead and do it. It just comes just like sitting out eating a meal.
Mm-hmm. Did you like not having a boss? Except, you know, for
well,
being your
that
own
didn't
boss.
Bother me about having a boss, because after a few years, I got to be the boss most of the time myself. That didn't matter. Of course, it just, the boss is, in a way of speaking, is just the man that's responsible for whatever happened, you know, taking care of the boat.
Yeah.
Different things.
Yeah.
It wasn't nothing like no boss man demanding you to do this and one do the other. Everybody did some of everything come to hand until he got through with the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that was understood from the start, so it wasn't a problem.
Sounds like you usually had a good crew to work with.
I know how to pick them pretty good.
Yeah. I guess you know everybody around real good.
Yeah, I didn't have no problem.
Yeah. Did Eddie Oxendine's father ever work with you?
He shad fished with me for a few, 2-3 years.
Uh-huh.
2-3 rounds, that's just a short season. That's when we used to, when them deserts, like I tell you about them designated places where we shad fish.
Mm-hmm.
We fishing. That three seasons, I think.
Yeah.
He was good. He was all right. He liked it too.
Yeah. Their family's been fishing about as long as your family, I think. So.
Well, not really, because his, Eddie Oxendine's father, his daddy didn't do no fishing.
Oh.
He never get involved in it. He was around, but he did not get involved in it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He always did other things, you know, like working in the fruit and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought that he was.
But this Eddie, you talking about what do the skinning.
Mm-hmm.
His father, he was in.
Yeah.
I'm talking about his granddaddy.
Right.
He was the one that didn't get involved in fishing.
Yeah. Is there another Oxendine, the younger Oxendine's uncle, that's into fishing?
Uncle? Well, really, all of them got involved in it some kind of way or another.
Yeah.
Them that didn't fish, they worked in the fish business.
Right.
So, they was involved. There wasn't too many of them that really sang fishing, I might say.
Right.
They worked in the fish business, and a lot of them trot line and crap fish, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this Eddie you talking about with skin fish over there. He trapped fish, hook nets, wire trap, crab, and stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you ever crab?
A little bit. I never did like it. I know how to do it, but I didn't ever.
Why didn't you like it?
I don't know. For some reason, I just never did care about it.
Mm.
I did a lot of it, you know. Just mostly when the fishing wasn't as good, I did it.
Yeah. That's a nice dog, sir.
Yeah.
The black one? Mm-hmm. He's nice.
Yeah, that's the only one I've got over there.
Huh.
Come here, Jack.
Well, let me see here. Did you ever have when you had hoop nets, did you ever have a tar pot for tarring them?
I used to, but we, in the later years, we started dipping them, and they got a dip that we use. It's not, it's a, kind of a tar-like, but it's a dip.
You don't have to heat it?
You don't have to heat it or nothing. You just put a little gas in it to limb it up,
mm-hmm.
and dip them, and then let them dry, and they dry good.
And, and it worked about as good as tar?
Yeah, on that nylon. But we never did have that kind of stuff when we used that cotton stuff.
Right. So you had to use tar when you had that cotton?
Oh, yeah, you had to heat it. Certain temperatures, you got it too hot, just burn it. And that's why we sweat it with the nylon. Nylon easy to burn, see?
Oh, I bet. It'd
and
melt right up.
That's why we never did use no heat. Very little heat.
And then you, I guess, did you tar your fish traps too?
Oh, yeah.
So you had your own tar pot, like in the backyard, or?
Yeah, I had.
What happened to it?
I don't know. I just went out.
He's retired, but he used to fish hoop nets a lot, and he has a big old tar pot in his backyard, 7 feet wide.
Yeah. You have to have them out like that if you want. Some of them guys use them real large hoop nets.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put us out of business around here for the fishing, where the fishing is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice the fish bite differently according to the phases of the moon, or that the fishing would be better or worse with the phases of the moon?
Well, it's always the old saying, I guess it's true. Sometimes it works out all right, sometimes it don't.
Well, how does the old saying go?
Well, it's like, say, on a full moon, fish always usually drop off, and that's for fishing with hooks. Trot lines or either poke fishing or something like that. Now, that's what they always say. And then on the other hand, in bedding season, the brim and bass, perch and stuff like that, they bed, same time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And they be on beds full of bass, full of the moon. And every time a quarter or whatever happens to the moon, they come back on bed again. So they bed about 4 or 5 days and they go off like that.
So when the moon's getting full, is they're biting?
They're usually about 2 or 3 days before it's full, and until about 3, maybe 4 days after.
Okay.
And that's on every change, but if they're bathing that time of the year, it's about 2 or 3 days before and 2 or 3 days after.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for bedding fish, now that's for, I'd say, poke fish.
Oh, okay.
But the hall of sand, that's a different situation.
Then did the moon make any difference then?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Got a little list of questions here that I've been asking people. What's the biggest catfish you've ever caught?
I really don't know the biggest one I ever caught. We didn't know how to take time to weigh them in the rough, you know, when we catch them. Like that. But I've heard tell of them catching them like 65, 70, 80 pounds. Now, that's a
wow.
Large, that's a large catfish. You don't get them that often, right?
That's big.
20, 30, up to 30, 35 pounds. Right? You get quite a lot of that.
Golly.
In fact, you catch a lot of them guys in them hoop nets now.
Do they?
In the winter, yeah.
Yeah. Living right on the river, did y'all eat a lot of catfish when you were growing up?
Yeah, you fish out of them every day. Some kind of fish, if I could get a hot feed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How would your mama cook them?
She fry them, make stew out of them, whatever.
Catfish too?
It's good if somebody knows how to fix it, but they're no good if you don't know how to fix it.
Oh yeah. Who's good at making that?
Well, there's quite a lot of women around who know how to make it. Most people like fish fried.
Yeah.
Catfish good fried anyway you cook it. Most.
Yeah. What do you think's going to happen in the future on the river in the next 10 or 15 years? What's going to happen?
Well, if they don't do something about it, different than what they've been doing, it's just going to be a river, that's all. They ain't going to mount for nothing, for no kind of nothing, but just to ride them along, maybe look.
Hmm.
That's about all. But in the last, I'd say about the last 25 years up to now, it's been steady going back. And did nothing to improve it, no kind of way, as far as the fishing is concerned.
Yeah.
And they did a good job of getting rid of the hyacinth. But that did harm in two, three ways, because if they'd have just kept them under control, got them down to, setting them out on the shoreline, and that would have hoped have places for fish to raise. But that still didn't hurt too bad, but it hurt. And then in other ways, by not being stirred up, it just sank to the bottom and drank the bottom.
Right. Where does all that mud come from?
Well, it's just the more hyacinth roots and stuff just dying right on the bottom.
Yeah.
Of course, it always was. Different places in this river and lake, it was mud. Some places worse than others, but in the last few years it just got terrible.
Hmm. Well, I wonder if there's going to be people fishing the river in 15 years.
Well, if they can catch any, they'll be out there.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes them boats be out there by like cars on the highway.
Really?
Just one going on there, one else. Hunting place to fish, catch a fish. They have them big fish tournaments every once in a while, and man, it's kind of dangerous to go out there if you don't know what you're doing.
Really?
Some of them guys
so crowded?
Yeah, some of them guys don't really know what they're doing out there, just running, and they just liable to run over you.
Yeah. Seems like the sports fishermen really kind of have it out for a lot of the commercial fishermen.
Well, they do, because they was told back years ago that the commercial fishing was ruining the sport fishing. That's what it all boiled down. Mm-hmm. And all they was hearing was lies.
Yeah.
And a lot of them older guys that own these sport camps on, after they were the ones fighting so hard,
right,
got this thing organized and stopped the sailing, stopped the commercial fishing. Not long after they did that, they found out they had hurt themselves. And they advertised the places and pushed them off on somebody else that didn't know nothing about it, and they're gone.
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
I've just heard a lot of stories about folks stealing the commercial fishermen's fish. I mean, they'll go out and there'll be somebody in their crab pots or on their trot lines.
We have a lot of trouble about that now, yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised at that. I would think that would be a real good way to get shot.
Well, every once in a while, one got killed up in the lake and I was going back. And this guy, what got killed, I think he was a doctor or something.
Oh, golly.
And the fellow had warned them about messing with his traps once or twice, I think.
Mm.
In fact, he caught him once and carried it to the law. He went to the law about it, and the law told him if you catch him, to bring him to them. He caught him and carried him to the law, and then they put him in jail.
God.
So, I guess he felt he didn't have no other choice. And he
right.
Caught him the next time, he just killed him. And then they put him in jail again, but he didn't stay in there too long.
He got out?
Finally let him out. I didn't really get to talk with him really since he got out, but I don't know what really would happen.
Yeah. Hard to know.
But it was, none of it wasn't called for.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see how maybe I do, maybe wrong, but I don't see why. If he'd asked the man for a mess of crabs, I know I would have. I'd give away a many crabs and fish out on the river. If you're a person mess of fish or a mess of crabs or whatever, you didn't have no money, okay.
Yeah.
But They just gone. When the way he talked to me when they first let him out of jail the first time, it just was just because he was a commercial fisherman, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I hear that some, it seems that people used to, and maybe still do, really look down on the commercial fishermen.
A lot of them do, yeah. But it's just like I just said, it's from talk from people that never was involved with it. They didn't know really what it meant.
Seems like just meanness.
Well, they could say it was meanness, but it's just like, I guess, a farmer is a farmer and a fisherman is a fisherman and so on. But here we go.
One thing we've been doing is trying to hunt up some old pictures of kind of life on the river, old pictures of people fishing or working on boats or skinning catfish.
Well, if you get in touch with the Game Commission, I'm sure they got, I know they got a lot of pictures of us making sand holes up in the lake.
Do that. I'll call the Game Commission then.
They might have all that stuff over yonder in Houston, now, because I worked with them a while. And I worked with them about 5 years, not continuously, but they needed. And they had a lot of pictures over there then.
They did.
And we were sand fishing for just for catching rough fish mostly. They took pictures of us out there quite a lot.
That being the 50s?
No, this was, well, I guess, about 10, 12 years ago.
Do you think they had pictures of older days?
Nah, they probably, you probably find some someplace, but not a Game Commission. Now, they might have some too of that, because the last 2-3 years we sang legally, we had a biology with us every day.
Hmm.
And they took pictures and whatever, you know.
And that was in the 40s then?
I think that was in the late 40s or early 50s, yeah.
I know somebody down there in Eustace, Joe Crumpton. He's just been there 4 or 5 years. You probably don't know him.
No, I don't remember.
But he's a real nice fellow, and he's been helping me out. Maybe he could.
Well, he probably could tell you something about the picture business.
Yeah.
Well, just like I said, them biologists, when I was working with them, they took pictures. And before, too, they took pictures of us saying out there with us.
Mm-hmm.
We had a haul of sand, but it was mostly for rough fish.
Mm-hmm.
Now we had a little sand when I was fishing with the Game Commission. Working with the Game Commission, we all sang and it was on the lake, you know. But it was just a little short, about 600 yards, I think it was 500 or 600 yards.
Yeah. Well, that'd be interesting. I'll call him.
Yeah, he probably got some pictures over there in Houston. Well, I think that's about the headquarters of the situation with the Game Commission.
You don't have any old family pictures?
No.
Of you and your boat or?
No, not really.
No.
I never did think about it.
Really? I know it's funny. People just never thought about it. Now there's hardly any.
Now they had a few pictures of Nick down in the fish house one time, but I don't know. They might be done away with them. That was something to do with the fishing.
I was going to run on down there and try to take some pictures of them skinning.
There ain't no skin in the bay down that time, huh?
No.
I haven't too long left from down there. That fish kind of scared down there.
Really? Should I try tomorrow?
Well, you bite not maybe tomorrow. I don't know. They ain't getting many fish down there now. It's one place up here on the other side of Seaville. They have a few fish pretty well every day, so I hear, and I ain't been down there lately.
If they have any fish down at St. John's, what time of day should I go down?
Well, usually they'd be skinning. If they got into the skin, they'd be around 10 o'clock, from 10 o'clock to on through the day.
Maybe I'll try to do that. Well, thanks a lot for all the information. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I think I finally understand how the haul sand works, and I really didn't before I talked to you.
That's just about the way it works.
Do you know anybody around here who's catlining now?
Yeah, it's not really, not in me life, I know.
Or Georgetown?
Well, some of the younger guys in Georgetown, they catlined up in the lake. There ain't no fish in the river down from the kids. The fish is left out.
Yeah.
Just like I said, they started leaving out on February and by the end of March.
Yeah, this is a bad time for catlining right now, isn't it?
Yep, especially in this river.
Yeah.
It's all right in the lake right now, but you're getting scared all the time.
Hmm. Because I did want to get some pictures, but I guess I'll have to wait.
If you get up there on that ferry of the Georgetown,
uh-huh,
real early, you probably catch some of them boys going out. They might let you go out with them and just run the line.
That'd be great. What time? Like 7?
Well, I imagine you'd have to get there a little early. And I got more fish than he'd get out before daylight.
Oh, yeah?
At least at break of day, he's gone.
Maybe I'll try to do that one morning. I get ambitious.
You most likely catch some of them going out.
Okay.
If they ain't going to run the trot line, they're going to run the hook nets or something.
Yeah.
They have to go early, just like I say, otherwise they'd be gone.
Yeah, what would happen to them?
Well, they'd just be going in the lake, and then they go out there until they get through running the stuff, and then they come back.
Oh,
and,
I see, yeah.
See, they lower the trailer, and a boat right on the trailer, and pull it, mm-hmm, take it right on there.
Well,
like I say, most any morning, you get down there just at daybreak, you catch some of them going out there.
I think maybe I'll try to do that.
I don't be there. Most of them wouldn't mind me going out there.
Okay.
Just to look.
Yeah, I just want to take some pictures of them, yeah, of them, you know, pulling the lines up and taking the fish off. I mean, if you've never seen it, it's real interesting to see
right,
the pictures.
Right.
I know for most fishermen, it just seems like just like breathing to do all
right,
the work, but for someone who doesn't know, it's a lot to know. Well, thanks again.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Appreciate it.